Morning, friends.
Just before I share what God's put on my heart this morning, I just really wanted to say it's an honour and a privilege to fill in for Chris after she's now finished as senior leader. Certainly one of the biggest responsibilities I've been given. But I just wanted to let you know it wasn't my idea. It wasn't what I recommended. But the board did ask me if I would cover the leadership of the church in transition, and I prayed about that and felt God confirm that it's the right thing to do. But just particularly out of this morning's message, I just want to make it really sure that I'm not auditioning and I'm not performing to try and prove that I'm a senior leader of a church. Okay, I just want to just put that out there. Just say I love you, I love God, I love serving God. As long as he needs me to, I'll do what he needs me to do. But just want to make sure that's clear. So I just wanted to start off by asking a question. I know some people love answering questions, and I love some people don't so much love answering questions. But there's two really valuable questions that I want to get you to consider. And if you can find someone nearby you, ideally if it's not your partner or person you live with, that'd be great. But we really want to, probably the biggest question that you can ask yourself is, would you really love to live like Jesus? Would you really love to live like Jesus all the time? So just while I get myself set up, if you could just, can you just eyeball, make sure everyone's got someone to chat with? Anybody who hasn't, just put your hand up. We can find, if you could match up, great. Okay, so two questions, just very quickly. One is, from what you know about Jesus, how would you like to live more like him? What's one or two ways that you would love to be more like Jesus? And secondly, how? How do you think that could actually help? What could help you become that way? What do you think you need to do in order to live more like Jesus? Okay? Give you 2 minutes. Chat. Thank you. Okay, I just like to get one or two word feedback of the person you're talking with. What do you think we need to do in order to live more like Jesus? Any words that came out in that question? Intimacy with God, obedience, intentionality. Spend time with Jesus. Focus on the cross. Have a heart like Jesus. Be secure in your identity. Yeah, all. Love like him. Yeah, that's great. A really important thing that we need to let the world know that most people don't actually realize is that God is good. And God is not just really good, but he loves really well. And what's more, God doesn't just love well, and he isn't loving a lot of the time. God really is love. And Jesus' best friend John shares this in his revelation that he gives us in 1 John 4, that we know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So we've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. God isn't just loving a lot of the time. God is love, and he is the source of all love. Any love in this world is a direct result that people are made in the image of God. And it's impossible for God to do anything but love perfectly all of the time. And that famous, I refer to as the wedding passage that we always gets cranked up, 1 Corinthians 13, that you'd be familiar with, talks about love. But really what this is simply a description of who God is. You know, just replacing the word love with God and it makes a whole lot of sense. God, and it's his love towards us that this describes. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand his own way. God's not irritable and God keeps no record of being wronged. God doesn't rejoice about injustice, but God rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God never gives up. God never loses faith. God is always hopeful and God endures through everything and every circumstance. Everything the Father has ever done and will ever do is perfectly loving. And Jesus was sent to earth to demonstrate the love of the Father to us. And every single thing that Jesus ever did and does is always and every time done purely out of love for people. Everything Jesus does and everything he says is loving. And now we've got access to the Spirit of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can only ever do what is perfectly loving to another person. And a simple yet profound revelation that God gave me around this on Monday the 25th of July, 2 months ago, on a Monday morning, first thought of the day, just woke up and I felt God say, "You'd really love to live like Jesus? Well, there's one thing that you need to do. You really love to live like Jesus? Well, really love to live like Jesus." And God dropped into my mind this picture of Alexander as he was explaining this to me, going, "So what does this look like?" And this is when we're doing renos next door, and my little TA, we've got out my safety gear and didn't quite put it all in the right spots, but never mind. But God gave me this image. Unfortunately, I had a photo of it. And I'm going to make myself look a little bit ridiculous, but I hope more than anything this helps you remember this message. So firstly, we need to think love all the time. We need to think love all the time. We need to have the mind of Jesus to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. And his thoughts are always loving and his purposes are always to love. Thanks to Joe for the glasses. We need to see life through the lens of love. We need to see people through the eyes of love. We're going to see everything, our work, our relationships, our money, through the eyes of love. And we need to read God's word through the lens of love. Now, this one's going to be hard to keep on, but I think you get the point. Everything we say needs to be said in a loving way that communicates love to the person that we're talking to. Everything. Everything we say needs to be loving. This is really important. Love requires something. Love isn't just words or thoughts. Love requires an action. And thinking lovely thoughts isn't necessarily actually love. Every action needs to be done lovingly as acts of love. Everything that we do needs to be done lovingly. But there's one more thing. And there's one thing that we can do loving acts and we can say loving things that's not really loving. The person might think that it's loving, but is it really loving? And the last really important thing. Not the response I'm going for. More than anything, our motivation, our heart motivation, is more important than the actual words. Everything that we do must be motivated by love. And the fact is that only you or God knows whether what you do or what you say is actually loving. And this has been a two-month life experiment that God's invited me into. And the last 2 months have been two of the best months of my life. And it's changed me a little bit on the outside, you know. My behaviour's changed a little bit, but more so it's changing me on the inside. And I'm really looking forward to an increasing rich life taking on this challenge. And I just hope that you can do so as well. As Chris mentioned last week, the love of Jesus is so unlike the world's concept of love. How is Jesus' way of love differently? What is a Jesus type of love? Jesus doesn't love like anybody else. He says to us, don't just love the people you like or that you want to love. Love your enemies. And don't do what you do lovingly, expecting something back. Do it with expecting nothing in return. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's what love looks like. And as I mentioned, we can sometimes show love, but it's sometimes from a selfish motive. It's those times where I do something loving, hoping that I might get something back in return. Or doing something loving so someone else might think more highly of me. Or it might be doing something loving in the hope that this might develop into a friendship. But sometimes we just do it selfish love. You know what I mean? Sometimes we love so we've got a really good testimony that we can tell people about how we loved people. They're not exactly evil things, but they're just not the way that Jesus loves. And the reason I point this out is because Jesus' love needs to be our love. That is his loving command to us. His new commandment that I give unto you is to love one another as he loves us. So his command is that we love the way he loves. So I want to finish our time together just looking at three questions, because I'm sure that there's some of you going, yeah, sounds good in theory. That'd be nice, but isn't that a bit ridiculous? Isn't that a little bit over the top? So there's three questions I want to look at is, can we really love all the time? How do we love? Oh, sorry. There's a video I want to watch. Zach would be disappointed because it's a Bible Project video. Just talks about the way Jesus' love is so different to the way that the world loves.
So if you've heard of Jesus, you probably know about one of his famous teachings called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And this, actually, is a restatement of something else that Jesus said, that the meaning of life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's really beautiful, but what does he mean exactly by the word love? It's an unclear word in English, because you can love your mom and you can love pizza. And if the word love means the same thing in both of those cases, your mom's gonna feel real bad. So what did Jesus mean in his language? Well, first of all, this love your neighbor phrase is a quotation from the Hebrew scriptures, where the word for love is ahava. However, the language Jesus spoke and taught in from day to day, it was a cousin language of Hebrew, that is Aramaic, in which the word for love is rachma. But then, as Jesus' followers spread his teachings around the world, they translated them into Greek, using the word agape. But here's what's fascinating. The earliest followers of Jesus, who wrote the books of the New Testament in Greek, they didn't learn the meaning of agape by looking it up in ancient dictionaries. Rather, they looked to the teachings of Jesus and the story of his life to redefine their very concept of love. So, one time, Jesus was asked about the most important command in the Jewish scriptures. And he first quoted from the ancient prayer in the Torah called the Shema, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart." So, love for God is the most important thing. But then Jesus quickly followed up by saying another command from the Torah was also the most important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So, which is the most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? Jesus' answer is yes. To ask the question means you don't get his point. For Jesus, they are two sides of the same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for people, and vice versa, they're inseparable. And so this makes it clear that for Jesus, agape love is not primarily a feeling for someone else that happens to you, like our phrase, I fell in love. For Jesus, love is action. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. Jesus also went on to teach that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially from people who are in difficult situations, who can't repay you even if they wanted to. According to Jesus, this kind of generous love reflects the very heartbeat of God. And he took this even further. Jesus said that the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat the person that you can't stand. Or in his words, you shall love your enemy and do good to them, expecting nothing in return. For Jesus, this kind of enemy-embracing love imitates the very character of God himself. Now, we wouldn't be talking about Jesus still today if he had only said things like love your enemy. This is how he actually lived. Jesus was constantly helping and serving the people around him in very practical and tangible ways. And he consistently moved towards poor and hurting people who couldn't benefit him in return. He showed love for the forgotten ones, the people who usually fall through the cracks. And when Jesus eventually marched into Jerusalem, he made himself an enemy of the leaders of his people by accusing them of hypocrisy and corruption. But then instead of attacking his enemies to overthrow them, he allowed them to kill him. Jesus died for the selfishness and corruption of his enemies because he loved them. After Easter morning, Jesus and then his followers claimed that it was the power of God's love for the world that was revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul put it, God demonstrated his own agape for us in this: while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us. Or in the words of the Apostle John, God's own agape was revealed when he sent his one and only Son into the world so that through him we could have life. And for John, then, this leads naturally to the conclusion, beloved ones, if that's how God has loved us, then we ought to show love for one another. So Christian faith involves trusting that at the center of the universe is a being overflowing with love for his world, which means that the purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus and then to give it back out to others, creating an ecosystem of others-focused, self-giving love. And that's the New Testament meaning of agape love.
That is way better than what I could have explained it. And what's more, that Jesus' love, his love didn't look the same for every person in every situation. You know, you look at Jesus' love, his love could look like hugging and touching a leper. His love could be rebuking a rich young ruler who wanted to follow him. His love could be looked like showing mercy to a guilty adulterer. His love looked like hanging out with the scum of the world, as the Pharisees would say. His love looked like calling one of his best friends, Satan, get behind me, Satan. That was motivated by love. Sometimes Jesus' love looked like making up a whip, smashing up a big market fair out of love. His love for his Father and his love for the true worshippers around him. Jesus' love came in all different shapes and sizes. Just before I look at those three questions, which I think will hopefully be helpful, but in terms of my two-month trial, I'm just going to call it that because I haven't perfected it, but it's been a real adventure, and it's been amazing. And it was curious that revelation came to me at the end of a fast and just a couple of days after I accepted the interim team leader role. But it's just changed me from the inside in terms of public speaking. I got to share at the Port Stephens Mayor's prayer dinner, and I got to be the last speaker of the night. And God just, all he said to me was, love the mayor. Just tell the mayor how much the church loves him. And there were a few people that were here, but it was just, Ryan Palmer, we respect you for what you do, but more so, we honour you for who you are, regardless of what you do. And we want to let you know that the Church of Port Stephens loves you and is praying for you and is backing you. And it's just beautiful. And I don't do it performing. It's not to sound good. It's just purely motivated by love, or I hope it is anyways. Chris, last week, preparing for that day, sharing that day, I wasn't doing anything other than how can we love Chris the most here? How can we create an atmosphere where love is shared? And today it's like I just want this message to come across because I love you and I want you to experience something more of the love of and the life of Jesus. And yeah, and as an interim team leader, I had some really challenging conversations with people over the past 4 months, but it's so different when you are sitting with someone who you're frustrated with or who you know is frustrated with you and having that conversation in love. It just changes the tone. It changes what you're trying to get out of this meeting. And it's just powerful. And even just meeting with strangers. You know, the Woolies guy drops off the milk at the Keen Bean the other day, just going, how can I love him? Well, just take an interest in who he is, what he does, how he's feeling, what he enjoys. You know, those simple things are just beautiful love. And starting my day, so my day begins every day for the past couple of months is waking up and going, God, tell me how much you love me. Help me understand how much you love me and help me in everything I do and everything I say today, may it be motivated by love. And then I start my day by doing one just symbolic thing, and that is make the bed, which I haven't done a whole lot in my married life, but and I don't do it if Laura's still in there. But it's just this symbolic act, and I'm not saying that's the extent of all I'm going to do for the day, but, you know, get it over and done with. But it is just an act to say, I'm just going to set my tone of my day, the actions of my day, to be motivated by love. And in my relationships, it's just the question of how can I love this person in what I'm doing with them. So the questions, can we love all the time? Can we love all the time? The answers are yes and no. No and yes, it is impossible. It's impossible to love all the time on our own effort. It's not humanly possible. Well, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, it's really difficult, as I've proven to myself. But in Jesus, with the Spirit of Jesus, it's possible. And we must. It's instead of impossible, it's Him-possible. Him-possible. So if we're going to do this, if we're going to love all the time, we need God's enabling of us to love all the time, and we need His Holy Spirit. It's impossible to live this way without the power of the Spirit. You're just going to be frustrated, but with the Spirit, you can live this way. And Jesus promised that He will give us a helper, a comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener to be with us forever. He remains with us continually and is in us. And that's the nature of the Spirit of Jesus changes us into the likeness of Jesus. And I believe that a big part of that is through our love. We also have access to life's love manual. This book, and I'll talk about this in a few weeks' time, but this is God's love story. Every single word in this book is motivated by love. From cover to cover, everything is motivated by love. The killy bits, the helly bits, the judgy bits, the lawry bits, they're actually motivated by love, which is a whole other sermon. But there's also the obvious stuff. There's the Psalms. It's this expression of God's man's love for God, God's love for man, the Proverbs of wisdom and how to do life well because God loves us. Song of Solomon's is like the sealed section of love. There's the prophets are just constantly telling people the love of God and God's general story is that He desires relationship with people. And ultimately, that came from Jesus dying on the cross. And the New Testament defines grace and love, all for our benefit. This is life's love manual. But you won't get much out of it if you don't open it. The last thing that God also gives us, each other. Hebrews 10, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We can really love all the time. I believe it is possible. It's not easy. It's a journey, but we can. And as I found out on a Friday morning where I woke up a bit grumpy, underslept, going off to the markets and stuff with Laura, and we had kind of conflicting plans for the day, it was like, I'm grumpy. How do I love? And I'm loving through gritted teeth and telling her I love you. And she said, you don't sound. And it was just horrible. It was so frustrating. I'm going, but I want to love. My heart is to love, but I'm just not coming out of my mouth that way. And so on Monday, and I get my journal out and I ask God one question each day, as kind of Chris taught me this art of journaling, which I've only just got into. And I asked God one question: how do you love when you just don't feel like it? And this is what I felt He say to me straight away. This is really hard and it takes determination, but this is your prime time for my love training and refining when you least feel like it. It's the most powerful time and way to love. And as you learn to do this, then your loving at all other times will grow exponentially. By faith, you have full access to my grace. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God and we'll receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it most. It's at these times where the Spirit of Jesus will prove Himself and His real power to you and through you. This is also the battleground where you either will stand on the true Lord of your life, Jesus, or you'll fall on the false Lord of your life, you and your own efforts and your own flesh. And that final one, what do we do when we fail to love? And we will. The beautiful thing is it gives us an even better chance to love. It's so beautiful when we come to our Father and say, Father God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I meant to, I wanted to, I stuffed up. Please forgive me. Please restore me. And He does, like that. And then when we do something that's not so loving to someone, or we forget to do something that's loving, isn't it beautiful when someone comes up to you and says, I'm really sorry about the way I spoke to you. I'm really sorry I didn't X, Y, Z. It's such a beautiful expression. It's actually a better expression of love than having done the thing in the first place sometimes. It's just an opportunity to understand that failure is a really important opportunity to love. That's pretty much all I have to say. Now I just really want to invite you in the next 15 minutes or so to actually let this take root as it has for me. And again, you might go, yeah, good for you, good on you. Hope it goes well. Or I'd really like to take on this challenge, this journey of loving more like Jesus, because I believe that you can. And just one asterisk, you know, as we do this, if you do this, the important thing is we don't go around going, oh, that wasn't very loving. Thought you said you're going to love. You know, judging and comparing isn't loving. So it kind of defeats the purpose if we're doing that. So this isn't about perfectionism. This isn't about legalism. This isn't about comparison, because none of those things are really loving. So I just want to invite you to do a few things. I want to invite you to do a declaration, if you choose to. I invite you to ask God one question, and then I invite you to enter into a time of worship. So just to summarise, and again, for the sake of the world around us and for the sake of us who want to choose to live like Jesus, we must remember four really key things. One is that all God can ever do is love. That's all He can ever do. No choice. That's just who He is. God loves you, every single one of us, absolutely, entirely and unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to stop God loving you, to make Him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more. He loves you always and unconditionally. The other really important truth is everyone around you needs love. Everyone around you is desperately wanting to be loved in a Jesus kind of love. And you can be transformed by love to love more and more. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, if you're willing, firstly, the declaration, if I could just put that up there, just again, that 1 Corinthians 13, and this isn't saying I'm never, ever going to not do these things. You know, this is the intent of the heart. This is just a heart declaration that I want to choose to love more, to live like Jesus. So I'm just going to invite you, and again, whether you do or don't, that's between you and God. But I just want to use this just as a symbolic declaration that my heart intent is to more and more be patient and kind. I will endeavour to do that. So is that okay? All right. Let's do this. Dear God, help us to be patient and kind. I will not be jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I will not demand my own way. I will not be irritable, and I will keep no record of being wronged. I will be not rejoice about injustice, but I will rejoice whenever the truth works out. I will never give up. I will never lose faith. I will always be hopeful, and I will endure through every circumstance. Amen. And I'll forgive people who make grammatical errors. Okay. So the question, again, if you can just pair up with the person and the one question, I just want you to pause. God's really quick and good at speaking to us when we ask him. If I could get to Joe up, thanks. What's the one thing? What's the one thing that God invites you to do in order to love to live like Jesus? What's the one thing God invites you to do in order to love to live like Jesus? Okay, I'll just give you a minute to think about that. While you're thinking, I'll get Tina just to read this passage from 1 John 4 that just wraps up this entire message and just underlines it in God's word. It was so encouraging when I came across this passage and went, oh, that's what God's been saying to me. So Tina, if you could read 1 John 4, thank you.
1 John 4, 7 to 12 and 16 to 19. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first.
So can I invite you again, don't feel under pressure. If you just want to sit and just spend some time with God, that's fine. But if there's something that God dropped into your heart, into your mind, if you could just share that with your partner, just for the next minute or so, if you can just share that, if you can pray for each other, that would be great. But then we're just going to roll into just a time of worship, just to immerse ourselves in presence of God and the love of God, reminding ourselves of just how much he loves us. And that's the motivation we need more than anything, to know how much we're loved. Amen.